Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I show my mega muscle, start to spasm. It could even cause some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joking yes, and I'm already a Moises. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and when they're not opening up for Conan O'Brien, they're here with us at the Baseball Podcast, the two best analysts in the industry, Gray Albright, Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, good day. How are you?
Good day. Hello. Hey, what's up?
It's a beautiful day. I'm not letting it slip away.
Wow. That was hot.
You know who's having a beautiful day today?
Speaking of hot, how about Josh Hamilton?
It's four homers and a double so far.
Yeah, we are recording.
We're the first to put that in a podcast, by the way. You might not hear this until a different day.
How did we not have him on one single team?
No, we do have him on one single team.
Oh, that's it? Just one single team?
Yeah, just one single team. Three AL leagues, I don't think we have him in any of them.
He wasn't even going for that much in drafts. No. I feel like he was right around, what, $24, $25?
I think it was the injuries last year and that whole, you know...
Happy hour discount?
Drinky thing.
Oh, yeah, drinky.
So,
And I'm always afraid he's going to get, like, killed by some guy named Burr.
But just to recap, it is the eighth inning as we're taping, and he has four homers and a double so far, so he is on fire, which is very exciting. Speaking of on fire, not only do we have a jam-packed episode today, we have a very special guest joining us today in the show. We're going to have Jimmy Pardo from the Conan O'Brien Show on tonight, which has me very excited, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Good stuff.
Very funny.
Even though his podcast is called, I guess
it's never
sense.
Not it's, funny.
Right, it's a double. That double negative throws me off.
Never not grammatically incorrect.
It was double negatives that allowed me to fail eighth grade math too.
Triple. That was the triple negative. It's only been done by Rodney Dangerfield before.
So speaking of things that are on fire, how about looks like Mr. Giancarlo has finally figured out how to launch it out of the Crayola Canyon. He's hot. What does he have? Five homers in a week?
I think it's six. Six homers in the last 10 games. Maybe five in the last week.
Okay. So now that he's got started and he's warmed up, who's the next big bopper to start bopping this year?
I had listed under the names for this, I really wanted Andrew McCutchen to get hot. And before we even started taping this, he's hit a home run already. So there you go. I just think it.
I know. I had McCutchen down too, and now it's crossed off.
See, I don't have a crossing off capabilities on my computer.
I did it on my iPad. I think I ruined it.
But I
forgot it was an iPad. Yeah, so I got some scratch glass. I'm gonna have to return it.
All right. So you both have McCutchen. Who else do you have on the list, Rudy?
I think at some point Nelson Cruz is going to be hitting some homers. I think he might be at one or two, but that's in Texas. The average guy in Texas has like five homers.
Or four within the first eight innings.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, two homers, that's like the first half of the game for Josh Hamilton. So I'll say as a guy with one to two homers that has shown close to bupkis so far, I think Nelson Cruz goes on I say a 2-week homer tear and then strains a hamstring.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Gray, who do you got?
I had Andrew McCutchen still. I didn't cross it off. That's who I had. Okay. I was surprised to see Francoeur hadn't hit one single homer yet, but that could be changed by the time. I don't know. Everyone seems to be hitting homers tonight.
It's something in the air.
Yeah, about time. Yeah, Francoeur should, by God. It's killing me on the Rasball Commenter League team. The one,
by God.
By
George.
Gee, gosh. he's got to go visit some like kid who's dying in the hospital or something. Please, Jeff Francoeur. Be a homer. Better yet, I'll swing at the first pitch every at-bat just for you.
It was a triple and an error.
I'll show a little plate discipline for you, Jimmy.
So, okay, let me ask you another question then, because other than those guys, there's been a lot of first basemen off to a slow start this year, and it's almost epidemic. You know, Pujols finally hit one the other day, but Agon's got off to a slow start. Votto's not hitting like usual does. Goldschmidt, Hosmer. Out of those five guys, Gray, is there anyone there that really scares you?
Yeah, Hosmer. I don't know. I was worried about him coming into the year because of his walk rate. His walk rate is actually up a little bit, but he's still been absolutely horrific. I think he's batting around 180. And, yeah, I mean, his walk rate, speaking of Frenchie, his walk rate's around Frenchie's. And, yeah, I'm concerned because he doesn't have much of a track record to go on. And if he's not hitting, you know, above 260 and if he only gets 20 homers and maybe 7 steals, it's pretty much a terrible pick at where I got him in my in the RCL, the Rasball Commentator League. I got him around, I think, pick 50 or something. It's terrible.
Those are Adam Lind numbers.
So he's really, yeah, he's really concerning me.
Yeah. So that one part of the strategy was good, where we wanted to draft first baseman in the first round or two so we didn't have to overpay for Hosmer. The problem is that we ended up with Votto and Adrian Gonzalez, and neither of them are hitting homers.
But Votto, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say,
but half a good strategy is better than none.
That's true too. But Votto, you know, when you're paying for Votto, you're expecting, you know, 25 to 30 homers, but you're expecting a higher average, right?
Well, Votto, I mean, the homers aren't there, but he's hitting like a double a game. I think he's got like 12 or 13 doubles, so. It's telling me he's hitting the ball well. It's just a matter of time before he starts putting balls in the seat. So, if you told me today I could have Pujols, Agons, and Votto, who I'm least worried about, it's Votto. Pujols still scares me. I mean, I'll take him in a deal. Don't get me wrong.
Hopefully, Votto's not a rich man's Billy Butler.
Whoa.
A less movie.
Less movie. Yeah. slightly less hourglass.
Yeah. Well, Butler's actually showed a little power today, but this year. But Adrian Gonzalez is starting to concern me. That, I mean, the talk over the last year or two, I thought, was he had a bad shoulder, and now it's like fixed, and now he's not hitting as well. Like he's like that rookie of the year kid. He's got to get he's got to bust his arm again in order to start hitting. It's like it could be just like at certain point, like Boston just tears is that whatever they've got, that Kavorka or anti Kavorka, I forget if that's a positive or negative term.
No, the Kavorka is negative.
Yeah, so Kavorka they got. I mean, Ellsbury and Adrian Gonzalez were like the two, and Pedroia were the two bright spots, or the three. Sorry about that little counting problem. Ellsbury's out. Gonzalez is at some point our favorite Sparky ankle biters. Something bad's going to happen to Pedroia. I'm not sure what, but I'm saying in the next 2 weeks,
someone's going to shine a flashlight on the wall and he's going to run into it.
I want in terms of Rudy's you know full of shit predictions bingo card. Put in your Rudy's injury and then Pedroia.
I think Rudy's full of shit prediction should be a feature on every show.
Let's see. Okay, so I've got two going now. I guarantee, here's another full shit. One of these is going to be right. I don't know when, Not one of those two. They're in a subset of every other one I do the rest of the season.
You mean there's it's one and then A, B, C? There's all subsets of one?
Yeah, it's one big bullshit thing with all. I'm not afraid to go. Once I hit Z, I'm going to AA. I'm going to AAAB. It'll be fine. But yeah, something happened. Something's happened to Pedroia, folks. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, we're still talking baseball.
Don't be surprised.
We're still talking baseball. You lost me at Kevorka, whatever.
And I think Middlebrooks came out early today. He probably like. Of course he did. Yeah. The Kevorka's just taking everyone down.
What is the Kevorka?
If only Bill Simmons' tears actually were curative, and he could just cry, on like Carl Crawford's wrist.
Somebody get Bill James's tissue that he cried in and rub it on Middlebrooks's ankle.
Oh, Bill James doesn't cry for anything. Bill James cries for dumb statements like that. Bill Simmons, though, would cry.
Bill Simmons.
So, did I miss something? Did Middlebrooks get hurt today?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, shit.
They replaced him with Pooch.
That's
depth. But it's like, take out that guy who's been hitting lights out. Yeah. Let's bring in Punto. Bring me Punto.
Bring us Punto. Unleash the Punto.
Oh, it's so bad. They have Cody Ross hitting cleanup.
They got Darnell McDonald playing every day. You know, the Mariners look at that and they're like, oh, they just shake their head.
All right, well, okay, so I was going to ask about Middlebrooks and what we thought about him, but since I don't have an injury report in front of me, maybe we will skip over him for the moment. But a couple other guys got called up this week, Brian Dozier and Tyler Moore.
I thought it was just Dozier.
Hey, now, look at you getting all Montreal.
Is he French-Canadian?
Sorry, I talked some time like that French guy, you know?
Brienne Dossier?
What's going on, Toulouse-Lautrec?
I cry every time you say Francoeur, Frenchie, Francoeur. Yeah, c'est Francoeur, tabarouette.
Oh, yeah. My Frenchie. Take on Dozier, it's like, the sad thing is, like, it isn't even one you have to research much because they're like, yeah, the Twins bring up Dozier, he had one homer and two stolen bases, hit 280 in AAA. But that's like, yeah, we've anything's got to be better than like maybe like a James Carroll, Alexi Casilla. We got to bring him in. You know why?
That's I think so funny to me. The Twins brought up a guy who's in a homer and two.
Well, it's because Gardenhire loves those like utility types. It's just like. He's still mourning over losing Punto.
He's the only one. He's the only one happy with that Punto for exchange with Middlebrooks. It's like, that's a great move.
Middlebrooks, he doesn't have any scrap.
All right, what about Tyler Moore?
What kind of gumption does he have? Get him out.
Oh.
Listen,
you gotta have a certain amount of sass in the lineup. That's it's a well-known thing. Even Bill James can't argue with sass in the lineup.
Minnesota's got sass, okay? They serve deep-fried fish on sticks at the stadium. So don't.
I feel like we haven't talked about one thing baseball-related so far in this show.
Okay, wait. So what? Okay, let's get back. Get us back, Nick. What are
Tyler
we on?
Moore.
What's next?
Bring it in,
Tyler Moore.
Bring it in,
Tyler Moore.
He's not even playing. Move on. Right. Tyler Moore, I'm sorry.
All right. You know what we're going to do? Sure, I've got a great idea.
Tyler Moore's not even playing for he's not even playing for them.
He's just
a bench depth.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm going to send two guys to your places,
shows funny on
big
TBS.
Guys, to knock on your door and say, hold on a second. All right, there we go. You know what we got to do? We need to regroup. We actually, I think it's time to do our six scintillating questions with Jimmy Pardo right now.
There is not six questions.
Well, we don't know yet. It hasn't happened yet. So, In case you've been living under a rock.
I'm a time traveler.
In a raft with plantain oars.
Oh, shit.
In case you've been living under a rock, Jimmy Pardo is the opening act every night for the Conan O'Brien on the Conan O'Brien show. You can find, he's been podcasting since before podcasting existed. Actually, you know, it's like Bobby Valentine. He invented the rap. So Jimmy Pardo, you can find him obviously on the TeamCoco.com website, / Pardo Patrol. Also, he's got podcast.com. So here we go. 6 scintillating questions with Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. That sounds way too serious for what's about to happen.
Well, we're very excited to see where you're going to take this. So what we're going to do now is Rudy and Gray are going to take you through 6 scintillating questions. Get ready. Here we go.
I'm ready to go.
All right. So, Jimmy, you're from Chicago, right?
Is that the first of the 6?
Yeah, that's it. Just go with that. You have a half an hour to talk about Chicago. No, it's not the question. I was leading in because some people may not know.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know if this is like a speed lightning round. I don't know what's happening. I heard 6 questions. I went into a panic.
No. The last podcast guest was Corbin Burnson, and he played on a rock and jock team with MC Hammer. So there's big shoes to fill and giant pants.
He is, you're right, and bad plugs. So we have a lot to deal with. Corbin Burnson, he's got a bad head of hair, is my point, fellas.
I'm with you. So you're from Chicago, correct?
I grew up on the south side of Chicago. That is a correct statement, yes.
Are you a Cubs fan or White Sox?
I'm from the south side, so I'm a White Sox fan.
All right.
Well, I could have told you that, Gray.
In fact, I was listening to the White Sox-Indians game when you guys, when we connected via this World Wide Web.
So let's assume you're a Cubs fan for the sake of this question.
Really? Okay. You know,
I say going forward, we only have people who come from towns with only one team. No more New York, Chicago, or LA people.
That makes it easier.
It's going to hurt Gray's question.
Here's the thing.
No,
I'm a fan of baseball. There are 8,000 people talking. I'm a fan of baseball in general. Even though Chicago has that rivalry, Cubs Sox, I'm a huge Sox fan, but I don't hate the Cubs. I am willing to answer any questions about the Cubs, as long as the answer is Ivan De Jesus.
Were you happy when Ozzie left the White Sox?
You know what? I didn't like Ozzie as a player, and I didn't like him as a manager. I'm on record, and by the way, this record means nothing. I'm on record of saying that anybody in the world could have made that team, could have managed that team to the World Series in 2005.
I think it was a Pittman coach definitely had a say in it, though.
I believe he did, but I mean, it was just one of those teams where everything clicked. You know, that team, he trotted out the same team, I think every now and then Mark Kotze was unfortunately in the lineup, but for the most part, like I said, you could have filled out that lineup every day, and the team would have went to the World Series. So, he's a hero.
When Scott Podsednik starts hitting game-winning homers, you're kind of have a charmed year.
You know what? That's a great point. Although he did steal, 71 bases that year?
And a hot wife.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a handsome guy. He deserves it.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
Don't deprive
him. Scotty Pods.
Willie McGee is ugly as shit, but he deserves a hot wife. But the guy had a good career.
He has a great personality.
We all deserve hot wives, gentlemen. How about that? We all deserve to be happy with our lives. Right?
Like that guy.
You don't like Willie McGee?
No, Elijah Dukes. You see, and Delmon Young. I don't think they deserve it. I don't like anti-Semites.
Let me ask you this. When do you think Delmon Young is going to get cut loose from the Tigers? By the time we're off the air?
You'd think he'd get cut by end of the year, but as long as if he has 2 bad months, I'll give him 80 more at bats.
You're gonna give him 80 more at bats? I don't even think it's that many. I think he's gonna get cut loose. He's looking
or one more assault and battery on the field.
Well, that should also hurt, sure. I think the Brad Eldridge experiment worked very well, don't you?
I think
I think they've got enough 31-year-old rookies in the league.
It was funny, the way that Leland made that great statement. He's our DH. He's our guy for the future. They give him 3 games. Adios, buddy.
He was 31 years young.
And then they just went, nah, we're done. See you later. We gave you a try. You know, try to catch on with somebody else. Unfair, I say to Brett.
Bring back Brandon Inge. He's the heart of that team.
You know what? The whole city of Detroit is falling apart with the loss of a Brandon Inge.
He really brought the whole city together.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's Detroit's problem is Brandon Inge.
He's a surprisingly good rapper, too. He has better flow than you'd think.
I'm very surprised by that. I heard that Chrysler is thinking of closing up shop because Inge is gone. I don't know if that's true.
Let me ask a quick question. I need a Chicago White Sox fan perspective on a guy who's killed me year after year, Gordon Beckham. What are your thoughts on him, Jimmy?
You know what? You're talking to a guy that completely overpaid for Gordon Beckham his second year and got whacked. He seems to be turning around, the last 5 games he's doing okay. But I don't know. What happened? We like to blame... I can't even think of the guy who was the batting coach. The batting coach now for the Braves.
Cooper, isn't it?
No, Cooper.
Walker. Greg Walker.
Greg Walker. Average player, average batting coach.
When you need him.
He's standing stoically in the first base coach's box.
They have Harold Baines in the first base coaching box?
Yeah, he's the first base coach. He stands there with a look of discomfort on his face.
They couldn't get someone to be like a designated first base coach.
You know what? I think they tried that. That was a very good. That was the ill-fated first base DH coach. Yeah, it was a good try.
All right, let's get back to some hard-hitting questions. Gray, do you have another question there? What do you got?
Was the question you had, Gray? I don't think you ended up with a question other than Chicago.
I think it was
Chicago was the question, I think. Mm-hmm. I think Chicago was the question.
Where's the best deep dish piece on the south side?
I was trying to lead him to being a Cubs fan.
Ask me your Cubs fan question. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you, if you ever had the chance to sing this content stretch at a Cubs game, who would be your dream catcher?
You know what? What's interesting about what you just said is I'm going to throw off the first pitch at a White Sox game in June.
Wow, very nice.
So that is the Cubs. I can tell you this. The Cubs have shown little to no interest in me seeing the seventh inning stretch, but yet they will have a coach from some obscure college do it to the crowd. But if I had to go, you know what? I guess I'd have to go back to, who is my favorite Cub? I got to go Larry Bittner.
That's going back.
Remember Larry Bittner?
I was thinking maybe like Jody Davis, Damon Berryhill.
You know, Jody Davis.
I think most people might know Josh Bitters than Larry Bittner.
Remember Harry Carey? Man, Harry Carey was in love with Jody Davis.
Yeah. He thought with a name like Jody, it was a girl.
He's hammered out of his mind, so he thought a little lady was down there, right? Pulling a fast break with Gabe Kaplan. I think, if I have to push comes to shove, gentlemen, you're going to do this. I'm going to go with, I'll just go with the current fella, Giovanni Soto, and maybe he'll grab a pitch for me that gets him out of the slump.
No, if you're throwing up the first pitch of the White Sox game, you can choose the White Sox catcher. Go ahead. Who would be your dream catcher there?
Come on. It's got to be Fisk.
It's the obvious. It's Wayne Nordhagen. I clearly know my 77 Chicago baseball players. I like Fisk. I wasn't a huge Fisk guy. Maybe I go to Park of Ice and watch him put that weird helmet on backwards.
I like Karkovice. It's a good name. He had K's in that name. It's a funny name, Karkovice.
Right. By nature, it's a funny name.
It's a very funny name.
Yeah. It better be a funny name if you're getting back 2-11. You know what I'm saying, Joel?
Yeah. With him, Ron Kittle. I mean, it's a hilarious group.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, Rudy, you got a question?
Okay. So.
Last question to you, Rudy.
So, Jimmy, last question or first question?
Did you say last? We only got through one question.
I know. We're going to have to change the title of this segment.
Okay.
One question with Jimmy Pardo.
Okay. So, yeah. So, as the intro said, you work at TBS. Or one of your employers works at TBS and Conan O'Brien, right?
Yes, I work for Conan O'Brien, yes.
Okay, so you're playing a life-or-death version of Make Me Laugh, where if you laugh, you die. You can choose one of these three past or current TBS programs to escape death. So you have to watch the whole show and not laugh. Do you choose George Lopez's talk show, any episode, anything by Taylor Perry you could choose, or According to Jim repeats?
That is rough. I will have to, I will go into my well of that George Lopez and I do not get along, so I will say the George Lopez show.
I agree. Well, no, actually, I'll play them. It was kind of a loaded question. Those are all not funny.
Yeah, that was a softball question. They were all easy.
You didn't give me anything that like, could have made me laugh. Like, all three of those are
so good. How about this, Jimmy? Fuck, marry, or kill Rachel Dratch, Robert Irvine, or Sloth from The Goonies?
I don't think I know who Robert Irvine is. Who is Robert Irvine?
The Restaurant Impossible guy on the Food Network.
How the hell would I know? Oh, yeah, all right, I'll fuck him.
he's in good shape.
I'm going with him sight unseen, gentlemen. I don't even know who that is. And then I marry Rachel Dratch because I think we could have some fun. And then that Sloth fella, I murder. I knocked that one out.
Is it true that when you open in your contract, you open for Conan, correct?
I do. I open the show for Conan O'Brien.
Does he ever try and abuse that by like handing you tightly sealed pickle jars or any sort of, like, does he wait for you by doors?
Yes. Yes, I open up everything for Mr. O'Brien. That is exactly what I do. When his mail comes, I open the mail. If he needs to fill up a gas tank, I open up the gas, the little door on the side of your car. Whatever he needs open, I'm his guy.
What about walnuts? Do you do walnuts?
This is a true statement, gentlemen. Yesterday, I got to work a little late, and the blinds were still closed in his office because nobody knew how to work them. And I showed up, I opened up those blinds.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, not only is Jimmy always this funny, but he's got a couple of podcasts, and you can catch Never Not Funny, right, Jimmy, at podcast.com, is that right?
That's correct.
And yes. you've been podcasting forever. You were podcasting before podcasts existed.
You know what, the only other one I knew about at the time was Ricky Gervais, and then I started mine in about 6 years ago, 2006.
Because you've got over 1,000 episodes on podcast.com.
I think we just
hit our 300th. Oh, sorry. I'm from Canada, so our math is different.
You know what? It does convert. I think the conversion is in Canada. It is over 1,000. You're right.
It's 1,000 metric podcast.
You know what? We don't believe in the metric system down here. We tried it for a week and a half, and then we gave up on it.
Okay, so we got Jimmy on podcast.com.
It's like the Brad Eldred experiment.
He's a DH for us.
The metric system, that's what we're going with.
We're not bringing him up to sit. He's going to play. He's our future.
Kilo meter? What the hell is that? I'm done. Go back to miles.
You better own it.
All right, we're going to try and get the rest of the show through here. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Check him out at podcast.com. Also, you can check out the Pardo Patrol at teamcoco.com/Pardo Patrol. Thanks, Jimmy. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
That is quality podcasting. That was great.
That was good.
It was very enjoyable.
Okay, so what we're really going to do here, we're going to focus. We're going to take our Ritalin. We're going to focus. And we're going to get through the second half. We're going to stay on topic with baseball. Stay on target. Mark Trumbo has been hitting quite well. The Halos have been struggling for offense. I know he's still kind of positionless, but he's been hitting. So what's going to happen with Mark Trumbo the rest of the year, Gray?
Rudy's going to enjoy this. According to our player rater, Mark Trumbo has been as valuable as Kadir and Helton. Mean anything to you?
No.
No, me neither. But I thought I'd throw in the fact that we have a player rater. Now, the problem with Trumbo is the plate appearances. Right now, he has about a little over 70 plate appearances, which is around the same as Chipper, Uke, and Zimmerman. And those guys obviously haven't been playing for DL reasons or just injury concerns in general. So, yeah, I mean, Mark Trumbo, I like him a lot. I just don't think he gets the playing time that he needs in order to be really valuable in 12-team mixed leagues and shallower. In deeper leagues, yeah, if you can shuffle Trumbo in and out, then for sure, I think he's worth it.
Yeah, he seems like the type you're going to have to check in before the game starts to see if he's playing.
But, you know, the beauty is that if you do have him on your roster and if you play in a system that has only five starts, you might get a few different positions out of him, which gives you flexibility later in the season, which is always nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I'd rather have him than Vernon Wells. I don't think that says anything, though. I'd rather have him than Peter Borgios right now.
Yeah, I just like flexibility, you know?
I think he's probably better than even, like, someone who's been a hot pickup recently, Chris Davis. I'd probably go with Trumbo and switch them in and out. But you have to have the maneuverability to bench Trumbo when he's not playing and put someone else in there.
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. We'll actually get to Chris Davis when we get to the closers later on in the show.
well
Rudy,
played.
Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, actually said this week.
That's right.
Yeah, see? Hey, jerky.
Mike Rizzo.
He said there isn't a hard and fast rule with Strasburg's inning cap. He actually inferred that the media, not the fantasy baseball industry, but the media was basing it off what Jordan Zimmerman got last year when he was rehabbing from Tommy John. So I think kind of everyone's been thinking we're going to have to deal with an innings cap, but maybe would it be a good opportunity to go out and snag him right now with an unsuspecting owner?
I don't believe him. Especially right now where they're on a playoff pace, and that means you're going to have an extra, you know, potential 25 innings, 30, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's two or three playoff starts at least. No, I think he's going to come down with some type of injury in the middle of the year.
Right.
But it's not going to be, I mean, if they're in a playoff race and it's close, yeah, you can't bench him in September, and that's what the, you know, you've got to come up with a phantom injury in the middle of the year.
I think
the Nats could do it.
I'm actually surprised that there hasn't been a Dusty Baker reference yet.
You don't need phantom injuries with Dusty Baker.
No.
Okay, he'll get you injured.
He'll figure out a way to injure you.
Well, it was that year that he burnt out Pryor and Wood when they were chasing the division title.
That is true.
Yes.
And Davey Johnson ain't getting younger. He's like, I gotta use you up before you waste away with all the cocaine. That's what happens to all my aces.
Speaking of the elderly and osteoporosis, Jason Worth cracked his wrist again, and I know the Nationals are in contention, but you know, talk about losing guys left and right. Is there anything to note there, Gray, or is it, you know, we put him on the DL for 3 months, and it's not even worth trying to pick someone up off the Nationals to replace him?
Oh, I thought you were going to somehow work in an Alyssa Milano reference. I'm a little disappointed in you, Nick.
Well, the email segment is next, actually.
Jason Worth is out for 12 weeks, and in most leagues, I would drop him. I mean, it's not like the wrist. Wrist injuries with hitters, it's not worth like holding on to him for, you know, maybe the last month of the season while he gets up to speed with his hitting. You're not going to... I don't think it's even worth it to hold him in almost all leagues.
And then what about a replacement level? No? We're not going after Bernardina or anything?
I mean, I'd keep an eye on that. Yeah, Bernardina's pretty bad if he gets in there. Ankiel, we've seen what he can do. I don't know, Tyler Moore had good numbers in the minors. I wouldn't, in deeper leagues, I'd definitely pick him up. At this point, I would just keep an eye on what he does, because I don't think the only thing I think, unless the Nats make a trade, they're going to be pretty brutal in the corner outfield positions until Morse comes back.
So is it fair to say now that Roger Bernardino is a poor man's Diaza?
Yeah. I thought you said Piazza, but no. Know you meant Diaza.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. It is now time for the email segment of the show. This one is from Pedro from Pittsburgh. Says he likes
Tom. Oh, my God. Another Pedro Alvarez callback.
What? What are you talking about? Making assumptions here.
I'm gonna be reliving the fact that I called him a sleeper in 2011. In 20 years from now, it's gonna be like, well, Pedro Alvarez didn't make the 5% vote on the Hall of Fame ballot, and he's gonna fall. So, Gray, what do you think of that?
Anyway, Pedro said, "Screw you, Gray." So that's the email of the day. Speaking of screw you, Jeter sent
I do it myself.
Did you order a code red? Did you tell me to pick up Pedro Alvarez?
All right. Before we get into the messy bullpen,
he's a spiteful man, Pedro Alvarez.
I got a question though. When did Vance Worley become the Phillies ace, Rudy?
His minor league numbers didn't really portend this. It seemed like Vance Worley sounded like he'd be part of that same group as Kyle Kendrick and Jay Happ at the time, where it's just, you know, Philly just throwing, trying to get a win every now and then when they don't have a $20 million pitcher on the mound. But yeah, he's throwing great. All the numbers look great on him. I do kind of have that feeling like, yeah, the wheels are going to come off at any time, but I think, you know, like, kudos to anyone who drafted him, who's smarter than me.
All right.
And shout out to his mom.
Joanne.
a
lovely lady.
Yeah.
An original queen of comedy.
I think definitely the second, you know, she definitely wasn't the least attractive person on Laughing.
Okay.
There's that one lady.
Artie Johnson?
Now there's that other one who looked like Artie Johnson. She was not attractive.
All right, let's get to the bullpen quagmires. What we're going to do, there's a fucking
Goldie Hawn, though, I mean.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Rodriguez is probably having sex with her as we speak. Just tone the arms, Goldie. Tone the arms.
Tone the arms and wear sweatpants.
All right, here's what we're going to do for the closer segment, okay? Because it's a long list, we're going to go through this quickly. I'm going to assign each of you a task. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to name the club. Rudy, what I want from you, and I want one-word answers here, okay? Rudy, what I want from you is...
Yes!
Rudy, I want the name of the guy who you want right now in these bullpens. And Gray, from you, I want the name of the guy who's going to have the most saves at the end of the year. Got it?
Wait, I'm doing the end of the year?
Yeah, you want most saves end of the year.
Okay, all right, good. Got it. Go.
Your long-term strategy, Rudy's Mr. right now. So here we go. Angels, Rudy.
Frieri.
Gray.
Walden.
Padres, Rudy.
Oh, Cashner.
Gray.
Street.
Cubs, Rudy.
Dolas.
Gray.
I'm going to say Dolas as well.
Yankees, Rudy.
Robertson.
Gray.
K-Rob.
Dodgers.
Jansen.
Marlins.
Sishuk.
I'm going to say Bell, but reluctantly.
Yeah, that $27 million.
White Sox. White Sox, Rudy.
Oh, the White Sox. I thought it was Chris Sale, but now they brought him in the eighth today. I have no idea what they're doing. I'll still the ghost of Ozzy still lingers. I'll still say Chris Sale.
Great.
Yeah, I'll say Chris Sale as well.
All right, last question, just yes or no. Does Axford look like the lead singer from Nickelback or what, Rudy?
It's a trick question. I'm not gay. I do not know what the Nickelback is.
I agree with Rudy. I have no idea what the lead singer Nickelback looks like.
It's just
is that like a recycling reference? What is Nickelback?
They're known as the least hip band in the world.
Oh, Nick's favorite. Oh, Nick! It starts with Nick. I get it.
You know what? They're Canadian, but I got no time for Nickelback.
Hey, the Canadians have a lot of good bands going, just not Nickelback.
Yeah, or according to you, the Arkells. So,
yeah, true. I know. I told you, every Canadian band has to have at least 9 members.
Listen,
less than 9, they're not good.
Listen, Rudy, I can't walk through Hamilton, Ontario anymore because of you. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
It's a bad show. I don't know. Someone's got that on video. They could show it.
All right, Gray, Rudy, thank you so much. And a very special thanks to Jimmy Pardo again. Don't forget to check out his podcast. And that's it for another great episode of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.